Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. My name is Pete.
And my name is Luke.
It's Thursday. It's the future. Who knows what's going to be taking place? I've got a bone to pick with you, Sunshine, Luke Emma, okay. Before we start. I did not listen to last week's show because I was busy and stuff. What's this £100 business, €100 business? What have you been telling tales? I was handing out €100 notes or something.
Oh, no, yeah, this is a true story. Yeah, I can't believe you don't remember it.
No, I don't. What was it?
We went on a night out.
Apologies to the people who were listening last week. I was not one of them for various technical reasons.
No, I'm happy to reiterate it. Textbook dolls and behaviour. People will be into it. You and I went on a night out in Berlin several years ago. And we were out somewhere and they, for some reason, the bar we were in didn't take card. So I said, look, I need to go and walk to a cash point. And you said, no, don't do that. I mean, by the way, this is very late doors. It's about 1 or 2 in the morning. Okay. You said, no, don't do that. Just borrow some money off me. And I said, okay, fine. You gave me €100.
Okay.
And then a couple of days later, when we were back in London, and I tried to pay you back, you wouldn't take the money.
Hmm.
I don't
remember the exact situation, but I think it contributes to the fact that you live in a house that you own, and I don't live in a house that I own. So yeah,
I can't remember that kind of behaviour. One of the things I was unclear about last week, I think I can't fully remember what was said, but I'm fairly certain I did eventually pay you back, but it was a long time.
Yeah, and also, to be honest, out of all of the Football Ramble team, you are probably pretty high on the list of people I would lend money to. There are a couple who I wouldn't.
One of them yourself.
One little hairy boy still owes me £35 for the Stansted Express, for example.
My goodness me. That is, listen, you should take that to the grave as well. Don't ever let it get. If that's not eating you up inside when you're 60 years old, then you are a terrible, terrible human being.
The only bit of advice any of my family members ever gave me was my nan went, never lend people money. She was really serious about it. She said, Peter, the one thing is never lend people money. And I have, so what does she know?
My nan used to say, never a borrower or a lender be.
You got to be one of the two if you're getting involved in the trade economy.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. It's a very fiscally conservative way of looking at things.
How does she buy a sofa? Because at the end of the day, you're like giving someone. I always get annoyed about the sofa industry that they sell things they don't have. So you're basically they're borrowing money off you, and then they build the product and send it to you. It's, you know, the commissioned pieces, it's effectively a borrowing and lending bartering system anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if a few more months of this lockdown business, we would have descended back to a medieval bartering system of economy anyway, so...
I'm going to get so into whittling, it's going to be unbelievable. As long as the economy has HDMI cables...
You will be bartering exclusively in the electronics sector.
Yeah, I'll be like one of those little Chinese electronic markets where you can buy all of the pieces for an iPhone and put it all together.
Yeah. And they've got these incredible products. Back in the day, people got their surnames because of their trades and stuff or because something around their circumstances. So obviously yours would be because you, at some point, someone was Donald's son. Mine is more because probably some family lived near the moors or whatever.
Yeah.
After this all happens, you will become known as Pete Wireman.
Nice. Ethan Edison.
Yeah.
I like that.
Could you if we got into a situation where it did resort back to a bartering economy, and somehow the currency was just stuff. If it became wires, man, you'd be absolutely fucking minted.
Yeah, but it would all be like kind of weird wires from like the late '90s that don't really work. Because the
rare, though, wouldn't they?
Rare, exactly. Yeah, yeah, but there'd be no market for it because you can't use them for anything. You just look at them. Sometimes I'll open an old suitcase and there'll be like a USB cable. And back in the day, there wasn't really a standard for USB cables, so like the normal one plugging into your computer at the other end would just be like this weird arbitrary. First party like kind of nonsense. It would be like it would just be a weird end to it. It'd be like, why is that like that? Because there's no one way of doing a USB cable, but obviously for mass market production, to classify a general sort for everybody to use probably makes more sense. Because it just means that you, but it just meant that if you had like a particular camera from the late '90s, early noughties, like a digital camera, it would always come with this weird. Like cable that you would never use on anything else because they want you to go back to them and spend 50 quid on a new cable.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, speaking of that and speaking of USB woes, when we realized this lockdown was coming and we had to go and get a load of home recording equipment, obviously I think you advised on what stuff to buy and it was bought and sent out to me and I set it all up and the mic that we're both using at the moment is a USB mic, right? So that was all fine. And I went to start to test it the day before. Lucky I did. Obviously, because Apple are absolute fucking wankers, I couldn't plug it into my new MacBook. So I had to drive around South London trying to find a shop because at this point, all the Apple stores are closed. Drive around South London trying to find a shop that did a USB to USB-C adapter. And I found one, the last one in Curry's PC World in Brixton. What a faff. Stop changing the ports on all your fucking stuff.
Yeah, the... Well, the whole lack of headphone port and USB, but a lot of the productivity people really like that kind of USB that's on the new Macs. But for everyone else, it's like I've got other stuff that I need to plug it in. What about so when we change to MP3? What about my CDs? Yeah. What about my CDs?
I don't see why they had to change it. Is it USB-C faster or something?
It is faster and you can do more things with it. So you'll notice that you can put power in it. It can also transmit power. It's quicker. The bandwidth's massive. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. So in the long run, it's good, but there's always going to be that painful part where legacy devices just don't work. And this has been the Luke and Pete Show tech support line for Thursday. Yeah.
I went into a Tesco Extra before I went into a PC World, and they've got an electronics bit upstairs.
Oh, nice.
And I know they're under a lot of pressure at the moment, and they do a great job, and I used to do a job stacking shelves at a supermarket myself, so I get it. But I have never seen someone so confused when I try to describe what I needed.
Yeah, but
they just hired a load of people to stack shelves and stuff, and that's absolutely fine. And then they just gone, right, you're on dairy, you're on like grocery, you're on beers, wine, and spirits, you're on electronics upstairs, no training.
Yeah, but Luke, if I know you, how you described it is how you describe any technical doohickey. Guy, you got the thing, it's the wire, have you got the wire that does the thing? That's how you would have just described it. So the blind leading the blind in that particular situation. I'm enjoying the fact that all of the YouTubers that I watch, which is mainly technically based, they're basically doing the same stuff that they did before. So they're not going to be losing a step, really. They all broadcast from their homes anyway. They've all got a little studio. You're built in their shed. They're just men who get old graphics cards from eBay and just make them run the newest video games or pick locks for money or just get old 1970s hi-fi devices and take them apart and have a look what's wrong with them. So it's very much my YouTube page looks exactly the same as it ever did.
I'll bet there's some preppers out there at the moment. Absolutely.
Oh, mate, we used to take the piss. The guy eating all of those old Civil War rations, he's got rooms and rooms full of food, he has.
Yeah, that guy with 450 cans in his basement.
Yeah.
Oh, he's probably got a load of toilet roll down there as well. He's like digging shit, although it's very clean because he's got loads of toilet roll.
Exactly. On the way back, I noticed that if you're ever on a flight and you need to steal toilet roll, there is a button underneath most of the plane bathroom mirrors that opens up the cupboard and you can steal toilet roll if you want.
That is deplorable behaviour. But
I needed it. I didn't know what was coming back to. Turns out, Soho, because no one lives here, there's quite a lot of toilet roll around.
I'd love you to have got, busted for smuggling or something. On border patrol. I'd love you to be doing the voiceover continuity for border patrol on D-Max and you're actually on the show. That would be so good.
Today on border patrol Australia, Pete Donaldson has been caught smuggling bread buns over the border.
To get out of being caught with smuggling a load of toilet paper down his pants, he shit himself. That's why I need this.
He's waived his fee for this voiceover here on D-Max.
Well, speaking of tech supporters, you listen to that. It's rare we recommend an episode of a podcast on this show that isn't a Stakhanov show. But did you hear the episode of Reply All about the lost song?
About the lost song.
Oh, it's really good. It's about a guy who is on the way home from a Reply All is a Gimlet podcast. Anyway, it's really very, very good generally, but this episode was particularly good. It's about a guy who's driving back from a party with his wife, and he starts singing a song, and expects her just to kind of sing along or get it or remember it, and she doesn't remember it. He's like, oh, okay, no worries. Well, look, I'll play it to you when we get home. I used to hear it all the time when I was growing up. Gets home. Finds no record of it anywhere on the internet. And he gets into a right old state wondering about whether he's made it up himself or he's having a meltdown. And anyway, it kind of escalates from there, and they try and find this song. They try and locate it. And the reason it got brought to my attention is because one of the guys, the main guy from Bare Naked Ladies, turns up in it.
So everyone was
tweeting us about the It's Been, saying, oh, this is the episode with the most bare naked ladies mentions since Luke and Peter. But it's a really, really good episode. I can't remember the exact name. I'll look it up.
That was like me trying to find, because we're doing a film review thread on the Football Ramble. That was like me trying to find Soccer Dog the movie online so everyone could watch it. And I'm coming up with very little. There was one illegal torrent of Soccer Dog 2, the European Cup, which I presume is just Soccer Dog going to Europe, which I'd very much like to see. But unfortunately, one cedar, zero leeches. And the cedar seems to be not available at the moment, so it's all very upsetting. If anyone can get me a copy of Soccer Dog the movie and Soccer Dog the movie European Cup 2, that would be much appreciated.
This episode of Reply All is called Episode 158: The Case of the Missing Hit. Just to get that
still numbering, are we, Gimlet? Yeah. Idiots, losers.
But the thing is, on that Soccer Dog tip, maybe listeners can let us know if they've got an insight into this, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, or perhaps you've got some insight yourself, Pete, which is that when they're making a show, they're making a movie called Soccer Dog, right?
Yeah.
The writer, the director, everyone assigned to that movie knows it is going to be a crock of old shit, knows it's not going to be watched, it's not going to get a cinematic release, it's not going to be successful in any meaningful way, yet they still do it. Now, I understand the actors probably think, well, you know, this could be a break for me. This is my first experience of doing something or whatever. I get all that side of it. But why, apart from that, why are they doing it? It's not going to make any money.
Tax breaks.
Right. That's probably
isn't like a lot of films just kind of like, if I make this, I'll make money. It's like the producers, isn't it? I don't know. And also a lot of these films will be like in-house, say like for Disney, Disney will like spaff out like 10 of these a year, and then they'll end up on Disney Plus to a confused Mandalorian consuming audience going, what the fuck is this? Disney made a lot of weird films we've never seen before.
Yeah,
and also you forget that it was like we were talking about the film Goal with Kuno Becker on the Football Ramble on Monday.
My goodness,
there's a new picture of him. I think he must have been playing like a hoodlum or something, but he's lost his puppy fat and his good looks. But wow! But I think what was I saying? Yeah, when they were sort of making that film, that weirdly made a lot of money globally. So we think of these kind of like really silly films and stuff.
Oh, so maybe they go over different territories quite well then.
Yeah, exactly. So the simpler they are, the easier it is to kind of apply it to different parts of the world and to translate as well. So I reckon. Mm.
All right, let's have a quick break on that note and come back the other side with some emails.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I like to think that the Luke and Pete Show is the Soccer Dog 2 European Cup of podcasts. What do you reckon, Luke?
How have they possibly taken that into the European Cup territory? What can that even mean?
Come
what
on.
Can it mean?
I just want to see it.
I'd love to see it. Because as I said in the Ramble earlier this week, it's a stretch to say that I wanted to dislike Goal, but I was firmly of the opinion, having not seen it, that I can remember that it was going to be awful. And it genuinely wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So there's sometimes, I suppose, having said what I've said before the break, sometimes there are kind of a lot of redeeming features to a movie that is otherwise a little bit forgettable.
Yeah, the Gerard Butler film that I've got you watching for next week is an unmitigated shithole.
He should know better, that's why.
No, not really. I think he's quite a limited actor who's a bit weird. If he hasn't released an album, he will have done. He's thinking about it. He's exactly that kind of actor, that kind of mid-level, mid to low-level Hollywood star. British, who's just I don't know.
So you wouldn't judge him in the same way you would judge like Jason Statham, where you go, look, he knows what he's doing, he's found his niche, he's having a lovely time.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not as likable as that, you're saying?
No, exactly.
Have you interviewed Gerard, by the way?
No, I haven't. The only similarity, Clive Owen pops up in some weird stuff these days. I interviewed him one of my last interviews for Absolute, and he was a strange intent.
Yeah, he's doing a betting advert. He's doing a betting advert.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Well, look, Cash.
Have you seen him in Extras?
Yes, I believe I have. that was like in the middle of his Hollywood career, wasn't it? Like he's kind of tailed off a bit. But maybe he'll be back. Who knows? Got an email from Richie here, Luke.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Someone gave me a huge smile this week. Someone I don't know. Can you really know a person is the question I'd say, Richie.
You ever know anyone?
Now, I posted on Reddit regarding a post saying a podcast, not yours, might be coming to an end due to this absolute bastard of a virus. I mentioned your podcast in the post and got a reply from some great person who replied, "Never did I think I'd see another Luke and Pete fan in the wild." I was absolutely stunned, probably as much as this person, but it brought a little more happiness into the world. Surely that's all we can do. That's certainly what we're sort of aiming for here at the Luke and Pete Show. We're not going to talk about viruses, wall-to-wall viruses, but I would say people do listen. Like, we're not like just broadcasting to no one. If we didn't have any listeners, this would not have gone to 200 episodes. That's all I'm saying, Richie.
No, because Pete, it took me 3 years to convince Pete to do it, and if it had no listeners, he wouldn't be carrying on doing it. Trust me on that.
No, I think I'd be more into it if no we had.
Oh, yeah, you would actually. Yeah,
the things I'd be saying.
Did you say at the top of that email that the emailer was worried that Luke and Pete Show was going to stop broadcasting because of the virus? Is that what you said?
It was another podcast that they were worried that, but they assured Reddit that we would keep on going, which is obviously scant consolation to most of the people on there.
If you're doing a studio-based show or something that's fairly straightforward to produce and put together, I don't really know why you wouldn't carry on, given that it's a case of buying a mic from Amazon and getting some software. I mean, I don't, unless you're a truly dreadful broadcaster and you have to be in the same room as someone at all times, I don't see there's any reason why you wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, big legs. I would say that they're certainly run on those Marantz mics we bought.
Yeah, that's another way reason you'll be the richest man in the world in that bartering economy, mate. Mics.
I was looking around. I've got an analog mic that goes with a Zoom recorder. I've got a Marantz mic. I've got a little Yeti mic that I use every now and again. I'm a doomsday prepper in the digital furnace.
This is my favourite Prince album.
I reckon if I got you to read a particularly long email, I could run to the loo and back. I was just thinking, I need a wee. And I was thinking, I could probably get away with that.
I'm a doomsday prepper in a digital furnace.
Yeah. Put that down.
I've got an email here about a terrifying sheep.
Oh, cool.
It's from Sean, who I think is a regular emailer. He's in Whitley Bay. He says, hi, guys. Not got a lot on at the moment. So I thought I'd email you in and tell you of an animal attack and the time I thought I was going to die. We'd gone to visit family in the small village where I started my life. It's a weird way of putting it. I've never had anyone say that before. Some people where I was born or where I grew up, where I started my life.
Yeah. And in the hospitals, old people shouting, I am ending my life.
This appears to be the end of my life. He said, we moved away about a year previously, so we knew everyone in the village. I went round to visit some friends about my age who had just got a sheep called Henry. I was about 5 or 6, and he was fucking massive, to me at least. I was eating a toffee apple, my first mistake. I was also dressed rather nattily in a hand-knitted Mr. Bump jumper, my second, more ironic mistake.
Listen, don't blame yourself. It's not how you dress, all right? Going out dressed like that, disgusting opinion. You're fine.
The jumper could have been made by my mum. It could have also been bought at one of those stalls at the entrance of a hospital.
Oh, things bought in hospitals. Oh, wow.
I love that. With the clothes you wear, but you bought in a hospital. he said, Henry took a shine to my toffee apple tree.
Where I started my life.
Yeah. Where I started my clothes purchases. Henry took a shine to my toffee apple treat and reached up to take a bite. I mean, if he was that massive, he'd be reaching down to take a bite, wouldn't he? Anyway, I lifted it away from him, and in fear I might strike him with it, he nutted me right in the chest. I tried to escape his head as he had another go and snagged the jumper on the catch of the gate. Ensnared by my thrifty garment, Henry had a few more goes as I steadfastly held onto the toffee apple. I realised now I should have dropped it, but I was only 6 and I was scared. I love the way he says this. Listen to this. He had another few goes. Before I was rescued in about 20 really long seconds, I was a bit bruised and obviously crying like a 6-year-old who'd been attacked by a sheep. That's how a lovingly knitted jumper featuring an accident-prone children's book character nearly led to my early demise. Stay safe, everyone, and look after each other. Now, Sean, you are a man who is clearly benefiting very much from being confined to your own home.
Yeah, no sheep out there. No sheep in my house. Oh, that's
the way he describes that email, right, is that, just to let you know, he has, in Sean's word, had in total 6, in quotes, goes at him.
it's just the idea of like, what could it possibly want? What could it possibly want? Why?
Give me the toffee apple, you cunt. Amazing email. Love that, Sean.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Very enjoyable. We'll probably round this off with a final email. Kyle, in France, where the naked ladies probably don't dance, they're probably confined. Well, maybe they do dance, but just in their own homes. Dear Luca Pete, living in France, a huge thanks for helping keep spirits up during the weeks of confinement here. For my birthday date, I found the headline. Remember, we were asking people to search for their Florida man birthdays. Florida man says he punched ATM for giving him too much cash. A Florida man told investigators he punched an automatic teller machine because it gave him too much cash. An arrest report says that 23-year-old Michael Joseph Oleksik, he caused about £5,000 in damage to an ATM at a Wells Fargo bank branch in Cocoa. A pleasing word for a man from the Northeast to say. He was arrested on a criminal mischief charge after bank officials decided to press charges. Incredible. And yeah, the surveillance video of Oleksik pummeling the touchscreen. $5,000 in damage.
I guess maybe the only thing I can think of is that perhaps he was quite clear to like his overdraft limit or something. And if it gave him that much money, it might cause him to have...
It might take him over, yeah.
Remember those days of, I don't know if you had the same thing, but I remember I had a student overdraft limit of £1,000, right?
Right. So, which meant you had £1,000.
The amount of times as a student I would, I mean, these are simpler times and probably quite fiscally irresponsible times as well, where you would, I'd be at my halls of residence at uni or whatever, and it'd be a Wednesday night, so it'd be sport. I'd been playing football that day and I'd want to go for a few beers that night. And I'd go to the cash point, and if I saw that I had minus £990 or better, I'd be absolutely delighted because that meant I could get a tenner out and go and get pissed, and that's all I cared about.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be absolutely mortified.
Yeah, you would be. I would be wound up. I wouldn't start braying the fuck out of an ATM, to be fair. But I just think I spent a lot of time bouncing checks. That was my MO. I was just doing a lot of bouncy check.
My friend I lived with at uni had his face behind the student union bar for bouncing so many checks.
Yeah. Imagine anyone under 30. The idea of a check.
Mate, the thing we had in the sports shop I worked at is you had to sometimes, if someone wanted to pay by debit or credit card, it would be a manual machine that you'd take a press copy of in like triplicate.
Yeah, the clunker, yeah.
Yeah, and then you'd have to send it away to find out whether it would be honoured or not. It's absolutely insane.
Foolish if you ask me.
It is. I mean, were you fiscally very responsible at university or not?
No, I recovered from massive amounts of debt at about 29. when I joined a radio station and then had to take out more debt. I was terrible. I was absolutely graduate loans, student loans, just awful.
So did I tell you the story that that the student loan company had overcharged me by something? I mean, it was thousands of pounds.
Oh yes. So did you get a rebate?
Yeah, they gave me a refund of like loads of money. Yeah, they were taking £550 a month out of my pay packet, even though I'd already paid the loan off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would question, it would be very annoying if due to this virus that they cancel all student debt, because I think I've more or less paid mine off.
That would be a shame. That would be a real, there's a big talking point in the US. And just finally to round off, a few people on Twitter are giving us some tips about self-isolation. WT on Twitter says, whatever you do, don't drink more water. You're made of enough of it as it is.
Yes, damn right.
Your acolyte there, Pete. Erect an indoor swing ball set, says Tim. Use a yoga ball as a bucking bronco and do press-ups until you're exhausted and then look out the window. That's the best
thing. I've been doing a lot of the latter, just watching the man at the fancy boo shop over the road. He's open for business. He knows what's happening.
Stephen says, is it finally time for you, Pete, to start keeping booze in the house?
No, because I've still not finished. I've got a bottle of gin that was gifted to me and that I may still re-gift. I'm not a big gin guy, but that bottle of Campari has seen me through literally no good or bad times because it's still full and it's about 4 years old now.
You're not a gin man. You're a Heine man.
I'm a Heine man. It's the stuff I drink. Or if I'm in Texas, Lone Star.
All right. Well, listen, on that absolutely amazing piece of news, we're going to get out of here. But stay safe. Do follow the protocols to make sure you don't contract coronavirus or give it to someone else. Heaven forbid. We'll be back with you on Monday with more quarantine tips, going slowly more and more insane, I expect, at talking into makeshift mics and computers in our relevant spare rooms. Pete, don't forget to take some time to get outside your box at some point, and I mean that physically and literally, not just metaphorically like I do normally.
I might get off my box, drink that bottle of gin.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.